Shabbos Daf Yud Dalet. So we're going to start examining that Mishnah that we brought in on Yud Gimel that brought up those 10 cases that were things that the Rabbanan instituted would be Tame on obviously a Derabbanan level. So who's the one that taught the first case, the first two cases of that someone who eats food that's either a Rishon or a Sheni, that can make Truma Pusel, meaning it makes, if you ate food that's a Rishon or a Sheni, you can only make Truma into a Shlishi. The reason we call that Pusel is because since it's a Shlishi, there's nothing that it can't transmit Truma to anything else. Because the lowest level is Shlishi, and that it stops there. So it's Pusel, but it can't make something Tame. But we don't say that it's Tame, meaning it's a Sheni, because a Sheni can transmit Truma to make something a Shlishi. So who's the one that says that if you ate food that's a Rishon or a Sheni, then you make Truma Pusel? So Rabbi Bar Chana says it's Rabbi Yoshua, because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer says, if you eat food that's a Rishon, you're a Rishon. If you eat food that's a Sheni, you're a Sheni. If you eat food that's a Shlishi, then you also are a Sheni. Rabbi Yoshua says, if you eat food that's a Rishon or a Sheni, then you're a Sheni. If you ate food that's a Shlishi, then you are a Sheni for Karbanos, for Kudshim, but not for Truma. You can't make Truma Tame. You can only make it Pusel. However, this Mishnah answers its own question, because as a side point, it doesn't make sense how Chulin can become a Shlishi, because we said if you ate Shlishi food, then it would make you Tame. However, Chulin, which is non-Truma, non-Kodesh food, just regular food, can't become a Shlishi. Only Kodesh food, like Karbanos and Truma, can become a Shlishi. So how do we have the case of Chulin, which is a Shlishi? So the Mishnah answers, so even though Chulin can't generally become a Shlishi, this is Chulin that was held to the same standards as Truma and Kudshim, meaning it was held to a very high standard. It's for the Kohanim who tried to always eat Tahor things always, so in this case, then it can become a Shlishi. So why do we make someone who ate a Rishon or a Sheni Tame? What was the reason for this Derabanan enactment? So that this person doesn't eat Tame food, and then he might drink Truma liquids like wine, and then while the Tame food is in his mouth, and the liquid is in his mouth, then he's going to make that Truma liquid Tame and make it Pusel, so we don't want that. So the next case, why do we make someone Tame for drinking Tame liquids? Why would you make him Tame? Because he might come to drink the Tame foods and he might eat Truma at the same time. While he's drinking the Tame drinks, he might eat Truma food and then he'll make the Truma Tame, he'll make it Pusel. However, this is the exact same thing as the last case. It's just a little different here, because here it's talking about drinking to eating, but it's the same underlying idea. So really, you might have thought that when you're eating and you take a sip, that's a very common thing, but it's not so common to be drinking and then eat food. That's very uncommon, so you might have thought it doesn't apply to this case. So the reason we listed both cases is to teach that it applies in both scenarios. So why, in the next case, why do we make someone Tame if they went into drawn water? Rav Asi says, because they used to go to the mikvah in this cave water, which is very gross, and then after they would come right out and take like a little shower with this drawn water, they would pour it over themselves. And after doing this for long enough, eventually they viewed pouring the drawn water, that shower over them, as an established practice, so they had to make the gzera that drawn water makes you tame. But so what if it's an established practice? What's the big deal? So Abaye says that people thought that it was both the mikvah in the cave water and the shower after that made them tahor. So to quell this, so people wouldn't think this, they had to institute that the drawn water would make you tummy. Rava says, well, who cares? Because even if they thought it was both that made them tummy, they were still going to the mikvah. So at the end of the day, both of them that made them tahor, they were still going to the mikvah. So what's the big deal? They were going to the mikvah either way. Okay, they thought that the shower afterwards was part of the tahara process, but who cares? So rather, Rava says, it was that people thought that only the drawn water shower afterwards was made them tahor. What was what made them tahor? So why do we make you tame then for just pouring drawn water on yourself in general? Well, the Rabbanan needed to make the gzera always across the board so that it would be upheld. Because if we only made it in certain circumstances, it would be too hard to follow. So why did we decide that a Tanakh scroll would be tame? What was the reason for saying that things that touch Tanakh scrolls are tame? Rav Misharsha answers that people used to store their scrolls, these Tanakh scrolls, next to their Truma food. And they said, it's not a big deal. We can just put it in the closet because both of these are Kadosh. We have our holy Truma foods and our holy scrolls. What's the big deal? However, the mice were coming in to get the food, and in their process, they were destroying the scrolls. So they made the Tanakh scrolls Tameh so that people wouldn't store it with their Truma, because if they put it in the same closet as their Truma and the scrolls touch the Truma, then they would be Tameh, and therefore people were pushed to put them in other places so that they wouldn't be destroyed by the mice. So why do we decide, why do we make a gzera that unrinsed hands are tameh? Because hands, you know, you're always using your hands, they're very active, they become dirty, and truma should not be handled with dirty hands, so they wanted people to rinse their hands and wash their hands before dealing with truma, and the way to enforce this was by saying that your hands would be tameh. A braisa says, similarly, that hands that come into contact with a Tanakh scroll become tameh, and that would make truma pasul. So this is saying that originally we had said that just the Tanakh scroll itself is tameh, so if it touches truma, that makes it tameh. Now we're adding that if your hands touch the Tanakh scroll, your hands now have the ability to make truma tameh. So the reason for this is because of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that whoever holds a scroll when it's bare, meaning if you hold the bare Torah scroll or something like that when it's not covered, then you'll be buried bare. What does that mean, buried bare? You're not going to be buried with your shroud. So Rabbi Zera answers, it means you're going to be buried bare of mitzvos. What do you mean, all mitzvos? Rather, it's saying that you're going to be buried bare without that mitzvah that you were doing with the scroll. Like, let's say you were learning from the scroll, then if you held it without it while it was bare, then you're not going to get the mitzvah for that. So which of these two zeros came first? That all unrinsed hands are tameh, or that just touching this, or that touching the scroll makes your hands tameh? So we try to say that unrinsed hands came first, but then if that's true, why would we need the other one? Because once your unrinsed hands are tameh and hands in general are tameh, why do we need to say that touching the scroll makes your hands tameh? So rather the scroll, touching the scroll makes your hand tameh, that was the first one, and then we made a general gzera against all unrinsed hands. So the next part of the Mishnah said that a person who went to the mikveh that day is tameh until night. However, why this is d'oraisa. The pasuk says uvah hashemesh v'taher, that when the sun sets, then you become tohor. You have to wait till night by d'oraisa level. Why are we saying this is a d'rabbanan enactment? So rather, we should erase this one from the list. It's not included. The next one is that food that comes into contact with tameh liquid becomes tameh. So how did these liquids that are making the food tameh, how did those liquids become tameh? So we try to say that it became tameh from a dead sheretz, which is a dead insect, which is an avatoma. However, that's d'oraisa. That's a highest level. That's d'oraisa, a very high level, an avatoma level of a dead sheretz, a corpse of a dead insect. Sorry, a corpse of an insect is a d'oraisa level toma. So rather we answered that these liquids became tamei from unwashed hands, which obviously we know is a derabanan enactment. So therefore, these liquids are only tamei derabanan, and this was a whole derabanan enactment. And it's a gzera so that we don't allow the liquids to become tamei from being touched by a sheretz. So we instituted the unwashed hands as making liquids tamei so that you'd stay away from liquids that were touched by a sheretz. So the last case is the utensils that became tameh from the liquids. So how did these liquids become tameh? If we want to say that they're the secretions of a zav. However, this is d'oraisa. It says v'chi arok hazav b'tahor, that if a zav, you know, spits on things, it becomes tameh. So why do we need to say that these liquids came in contact with a zav, his spit and things like that? So rather, we're talking about liquid that was touched by sheretz. And it's true that the sheretz is a d'oraisa level tumah. However, on a d'oraisa, liquid that is tameh can't make a kli, a utensil, tameh. Liquid of a sheretz can't make a kli, a utensil, tameh. So this is coming to teach that it is allowed to make, this gzera is teaching that liquids that are tameh from a sheretz can make other vessels and utensils tameh, and this is a gzera so that we avoid the secretions of a zav. You know, if a zav spits on a utensil, that it won't become tameh. So we had said that the unrinsed hands, unwashed hands, come from Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning they're Talmidim. However, why are we saying that it came from the students of Hillel and Shammai, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Rather, it came from Hillel and Shammai themselves. Why are we saying it's their students? Because the Braisa says, Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda and Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim decreed that there would be Tumah on all lands outside of Eretz Yisrael because they didn't really mark their graves, so they didn't know where graves would be. Maybe there would be bones and things like that. So they just said everywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael is Tameh, and also that glass can contract Tumah, because on a D'oraisa level, glass can't become Tameh. So they instituted it could. Shimon ben Shetach instituted a ksuva, and that metal can contract Tumah. And Hillel and Shammai instituted that your unrinsed hands, unwashed hands, are Tameh. So how does that make sense? Because we said here, Hillel and Shammai themselves. So how are we saying that it was their students? So rather, we're going to try to say that it was Shammai with his students, and Hillel with his students, that instituted this unwashed hands Gzera. However, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that these 18 laws that we had that were passed that day, Hillel and Beis Shammai disagreed on all 18 of them. However, Rav Huna says that Hillel and Shammai only argued on three issues total. So if they only argued on three issues total, how is it possible that they were amongst these groups of people that were instituting these 18 laws? Because then we can't say that they only argued on three issues. So rather, it's Hillel and Shammai decreed truma that was touched by unwashed hands, you suspend it, meaning that if truma is for sure tameh, you burn it. If it's tahor, then you eat it. However, truma, which you're not sure if it's tahor or tameh, you just have to leave it there and let it just rot. You can't do anything with it. Because if it's not tameh, you can't burn it. But if it is tameh, you can't eat it. So you just leave it and let it rot. But then their talmidim came later along and said that you burn it because it's for sure tameh. However, Ilfa says that the original decree was to burn it. So how can you say that the original decree made by Hillel and Shammai was to suspend it when the original decree was to burn it? So rather, Hillel and Shammai instituted it and no one actually followed it. And then their talmidim later came along, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and they instituted it and everyone followed it. However, we still have a problem because it wasn't either of these people, none of these groups instituted it. Rather, Shlomo HaMelech himself instituted them. So Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that there are these psukim of Hashem's approval when Shlomo instituted the laws of Eruv and that unwashed hands become tameh. So rather, Shlomo instituted that your hands are only tameh to make kudshim, like karbanos tameh, and Hillel and Shammai came along and said that your unwashed hands can even make truma tameh. Shkayach.